As always, it is good to be gathered together with the saints. As I say from time to time, when we're gone and we come back, we are glad to be back with the saints here at West End. We come together on this morning realizing that there is but one God. And the things that we do should be pleasing and acceptable in His sight. As I look across the congregation, the people that are sitting here, you would be, well, maybe not. Maybe the same thing happened to you as well. I'm going to tell you what that is. I talk to people every day. I'm talking to someone different. And I try to make it a point to invite them to come to worship service. And before I can ask some of them, they already, you know, I'm going to be there this Sunday. I'm going to make, what time you start? You know, we're going to be there. And I just look out and see any of those people here. And the answer to that question this morning is no, none of them are here. When I see them tomorrow, they say the same thing. I'm going to see you next Sunday. One gentleman came up on the porch yesterday, minding my own business, mind you. And he said, what time do you start? And I said, 11 o'clock. He said, I'll see you in the morning. I know I told you that a couple of weeks ago, but I'll see you in the morning. Well, I guess I'll see him in the morning. Not this morning, but in the morning. But he still have time to get here. It's only 11:25. He's only 25 minutes late. But we have to continue to invite people to come to worship service, to maybe sit down with us and have a Bible study or sign them up for a correspondence course. Let them know where we stand and why we stand and what we believe and why we believe it. We look at the title of the lesson this morning, the calling out, in Matthew chapter 11, and the verse is 28. Matthew chapter 11 and the verse is 28. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. This invitation here given by Jesus is an invitation that is still extended today to individuals that need to come out from a lost and dying world. Individuals that need to surrender their lives over to God by doing the things that He is pleased with. And we have people today that say that they have been called. And they will tell you how they were called. I want you to know that if they were called by any way other than the Scriptures, they were called the wrong way. If they were called by anybody other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they was called by the wrong person. There are times where our telephones will ring and we look at caller ID. Now, I called this brother the other day and he answered his phone. Or did you, I leave a message, you called me back. What was it? You remember? You called me back. That's right. That's right. And he called me back probably for a good reason, because I very seldom call Brother Roland. We generally text. And he's probably like, what's going on? What do I need to do? He was at the game. So, you know, of course he didn't answer my call. He called me back. We're getting ready to play again. You know, the storm has moved on and we're getting ready to start back playing. I'm calling you real quick. What's on your mind? What do you need? Yeah, you were rushing me, but that's okay. No, not really. We look at caller ID, though, and we said, I don't want to answer that call. And the reason we don't want to answer that call is because we don't want to talk to that person. Or I'll call them back later. I'm busy right now. And we have these little things on our phone. You can send them a message. I'm busy, I'll call you back, this, that, or the other, or don't call me anymore. And we got that the other day. I really don't want to, basically, I'm going to sum it up for you. I really don't want to be bothered by you. Don't call me anymore. I just need my time. Have you ever heard anything of that nature? Have you ever got that message? It's an instant reply now, but they had to type it in and send it. They didn't want to be bothered. And that's okay. I understand that people don't want to be bothered. But we need to understand this. That we have to continue to invite people, encourage people to turn their lives over to God, to come and to hear the word of God so that they may do the things that are right. Amen. We find that when we look at this call, the caller is Christ. Now we ask them that if God came down from heaven right now, if he sent Jesus right now, if Jesus was here and he was talking to you, what would you say in response to what he told you to do? What would you do? Oh, if he talked to me, I'd be obedient right away. Well, he's talking to us every day. He's telling us what he wants us to do every day. But people are not doing those things. They're ignoring Jesus. And you know what's going to happen in the end? He's going to ignore them. I don't know who that is.
That's right.
Don't look familiar to me. Go back and read Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, and you'll see exactly what I'm saying. But we find here in Matthew chapter 17, and the verse is 5. Matthew chapter 17, and the verse is 5. The one that we need to be listening to, we need to quit listening to men. We need to turn them off when it comes down to doctrine of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we need to listen to what the Bible says. God says right here in Matthew chapter 17 and verse is 5. As Peter was speaking, the Bible says he was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. Peter, be quiet for a moment. You're talking too much. You're trying to put too much emphasis on certain things. Listen to my Son. See, we need to listen to Jesus. We need to listen to his words. And we need to do the things in which he calls us to do. Many people are ignoring him. No, don't want to hear that. I have to live. No, I don't want to hear that. When are we going to start listening to Jesus? When are we going to start listening to Jesus? In Luke chapter 19, and the verse is 5. Luke chapter 19, and the verse is 5. We need more people like this individual right here in Luke chapter 19. People that say, "I'm looking for Jesus. I'm looking for the right way. I'm looking for what God wants me to do." And they need to take notes from Zacchaeus. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 1, he entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to know more about Jesus. I believe he got more than he bargained for. He wasn't really expecting Jesus to notice him and to tell him to come down. "Hurry, make haste, come down, for I must abide at your house today." Zacchaeus did not hesitate. He hurried down that tree, and Jesus went into his house with him. And that day, Zacchaeus got his life right with God. See, we need to understand the importance of getting our lives right with God. We must, you know, stress the importance to others to hear God's word and do the things that God tells them to do. So the caller is Christ. The caller is Christ. And we find, who is he calling? Just as we look here in Luke chapter 19, him talking to Zacchaeus. And here's what Zacchaeus said, verse 7 says, "And when they saw it, they all grumbled." Saw that Jesus was there eating with him, they all grumbled and said, "He has gone into to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And these other people are grumbling, because Jesus is sitting there eating with Zacchaeus. And it says, "And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham." Why did Jesus come? The Bible says in Luke chapter 19, 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost," or the lost. That's why he came. Came to call them out of a life of sin. See, we need to understand that there's a lot of people that need us. But But we always want to just hang out with other Christians. You can't always just hang out with other Christians. It's a good thing, but we have to go out into a lost and dying world.
Amen.
And we have to tell people, hey, I want to sit down and talk to you. I want to tell you about this man by the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. One that gave his life on the cross of Calvary, as Brother Gary was saying earlier, hung his body on the cross, shed his blood in order for us to have a right for eternal life. See, we need to understand the importance of this. Why? Because we look in Romans chapter 3 and the verses 23. Not some of us, not most of us, but the Bible said this in Romans chapter 3 and the verses 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is why Jesus came, to give his life on the cross of Calvary, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you fall short, you have fallen way too far away from God. So we have to stay right where God wants us, or get to the place in order to be pleasing to him. And then we find that this call comes through the gospel. It comes through the gospel, the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how he came to this earth in order to heal the blind, to cause the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, how he did things that would, you know, direct people's mind or point them to God Almighty. The calling comes through the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul calls it our gospel. Yes, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He calls it our gospel. Yes, it is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. It's the apostles' doctrine, because it is the good news. The good news that causes us to realize that salvation has been offered to all mankind, not just to the Jew, but also to the Greek. So people need to accept this and know that this calling is divine. It is not something that somebody made up. We need to believe in the word of God and realize that when we hear the word, it is given by God. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God.
Amen.
Let us believe it. Let us believe it. The lost are called out of what? If you're lost, you have to know something has to be done in order for you to be found. There's a way or reason why we're lost. Many people are lost because of sin. Because of sin. In the book of Matthew chapter 9 and the verse is 13. Matthew chapter 9 and the verse is 13. Go and learn what this means. He says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Sinners, you know, if you're well, you don't need to go to the doctor. You know, I go and get a checkup just because the needle says, you know, go. But I get there and they say, I can't find anything wrong with you. And they keep poking and doing this. Well, let us try this. Let us try that. And they keep doing things until they find something that is so small. I'm thinking, man, next time, just let me call you. Let me call you. Now, I know I have some problems, but the doctor can't figure those out because they're not problems that he is associated with. Maybe we're going to the wrong type of doctor. Maybe I need to go to a psychiatrist instead of a physical doctor or a physician. But they never can't find anything wrong with me. So we find here that if people are living right, we don't need to tell them they need to quit doing wrong. Jesus says, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Not the righteous, but sinners. So who needs the gospel? Sinners need the gospel. They need to hear about the good news. And they need to respond to what they're hearing. But not just those that are in sin, but those that are in the snare of the devil. They need to be called as well. Satan has you. Come on, come on, come away from him. Quit going down that way. Quit hanging out over there.
Again, you know, we talk about the different people in which we see and the different things in which they're doing. And many people do not want to change. They like to be in the snare of a devil. You ever heard about a fox getting caught in a trap? You know what they say that fox would do? They say he would gnaw his leg off in order to get out of that trap. Many of us, when we get in the snare of the devil, we're not trying to gnaw anything. We're happy right where we are. But Jesus came to call us out of the snare of the devil in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. He says, let's go back up actually to verse 22 and come down. It says, so flee also youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies, whose know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. But they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. So that's who Jesus came to call. Those, you know, that are in the snare of the devil, that they may escape. Remember, with every temptation, he makes a way of escape. But a lot of times, individuals have given in to temptation, and they're there in the snare of the devil, and they're being called out of it. See, we can leave sin behind us. We don't have to continue in sin. We don't have to allow Satan to continue to rule our lives. We can come away from him. We don't have to gnaw our legs off, but we have to give up some things and start living the way God wants us to live. And we also find that he is calling the lost out of the world in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. John chapter 3 and the verses 16 and 17. Calling us out of the world. Sinners out of the world, the lost, those individuals that are away from him, realize and say, well, I don't have a God. Jesus didn't die for me. Who did he die for? The Bible tells us right here who he died for. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That the world might be saved through him. Now he's not talking about the trees. He's not talking about the seas or the oceans. He's talking about people. The world might be saved through him. By listening to the divine call and doing the things that are right. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner and I need you. Lord, I know that the devil has me and I'm living the way he wants me to live, but I'm ready to come away from that. Lord, I thank you because you sent your Son to save me from my sins. He had no sin, but he died in order that I might live. He comes to save us, called the lost from death. Because we got a lot of people that are spiritually dead right now, but they're being called. You don't have to die a second death. There's time, as long as you have a breath in your body, to get it right with God. In James chapter 5 in the verses 24, James chapter 5 in the verses 24 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Has eternal life. If you believe in his word, what he's saying here is that you continue in his word, and if you die faithful, you have eternal life. You have eternal life. See, as long as you're living, there's always time to turn away from God. But on that same hand, as long as you're living, you have time to turn to God. You make up in your minds what you want to do. Whether you want to live for him or whether you want to live for the devil. The choice is yours. You have freedom to choose. But I encourage you on this evening or this morning to choose the right way. To do the things that God would be pleased with. Ephesians chapter 2 and the verses 1. Ephesians chapter 2 and the verses 1. Paul, as he writes to the church of Ephesus here, he says,
"And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." You were dead. See, now he's telling them, you were, but you're no longer dead. You have turned away from that life. Jesus has called you away from death, and now you're living. You're not spiritually dead anymore, but you're spiritually alive.
You're doing what you're supposed to do. How many people do you know that are spiritually dead? That are away from God. They never identify with serving God or doing the things that God wants them to do.
You never see them doing anything right. You always see them doing the things that are wrong. How many people do you know like that?
But yet they say that I'm going to get to heaven. No, you're not going to get to heaven like that. You know, where are you going?
I'm getting ready to go to New York. Why are you going? I'm going in this automobile. No, you're not going in that automobile.
Where are you going? I'm getting ready to go over here to this feast. Not dressed like that, you're not. See, a lot of times we think that we're going somewhere, but we're going the wrong way. Or we're not, you know, directing our minds in what God wants us to do. So again, he tells them right here, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." See, you once walked like that. In a way, that was wrong, but not any longer. You were called from death, and now you're living.
We need to know what God wants us to do, and we need to do those things.
Are you willing this morning to do the things that are right? Those of us that are Christians, are we willing to stand up for the truth?
As Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek."
So we've been called out of a world of darkness. We've been called to a place in which we don't have to worry about what's going on the outside.
We worry about what's going on the inside. We focus on the work of the Lord, and we do those things.
When we find that we've been living a life of sin, as they found out in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached that message to them, and he said unto them, "The things in which they had done, this Jesus whom you crucified, God had made both Lord and Christ." They were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He told them to repent and to be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, and they shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Verse 41, it talks about those that gladly received his word on that day. They were baptized, and about 3,000 were added unto their number. Verse 47. Praising God and having faith with all the people, the Lord asked to the church daily such as should be saved.
So are you willing this morning to listen to the word of God, to hear the word of God, to gain faith in the word of God? He tells us in Romans chapter 10 and the verses 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we hear it all the time. We hear what the word of God says all the time. And we begin to say, now I understand why things are the way they are. Because God is the creator. And now I believe that there is a God. But not only believing that there is a God, but we believe enough in order to change. In John chapter 8 and the verse is 24. We believe enough to change. See, that's what we have to understand. Because a lot of people say, I believe that there is a God, but yet I'm not going to do anything to change my life. He says this in John 8:24. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you would die in your sins.
Well, who is Jesus? Oh, he was just another man. No, he was not just another man. Jesus was at that time and still is today the Son of the living God.
Amen. See, we have to believe that, and we have to believe it enough to say that I am ready to repent of my sins. I am ready to repent of my past life. And he tells there in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So when you hear it,
You believe it, and you're ready to make a change. Now, this change will cause us not to say that I'm not living like I used to, but this change will cause us to want to confess who Jesus Christ is. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. If you confess with your mouth, if you make this confession that Jesus is the Son of God, he tells us that he will also confess us. If we confess him before men, he will confess us before the Father. There are many people. Again, they're ignoring the call. Who was there on the phone? I don't know. Why? Why do you not know? Because I didn't answer the call. So you can't tell them who's on the other line. But if we answer the call, we can tell them it was Jesus. When we answer that call, it was Jesus. Well, what did the word say? The word says that I need to do what? I need to be baptized. See, that's what Jesus is telling us. When we answer the call, we have to say, hey, yeah, I'm going to listen to this all the way through. You know, there are sometimes you get that call and the person says, oh, I'm glad I contacted you. And then right away, you know it's a recording. Click. You know, I hate to be rude to people sometimes, but even when they call you and it's not a recording and you're talking to them or they're talking to you and they say, I'm not interested, they're still talking. I said I'm not interested, they're still talking. I'm getting ready to hang up, they're still talking. Click. Well, I tried to be nice to you, but you wouldn't allow me to. But when we start talking about the gospel, when people tell us they're not interested, we sometimes need to take that into consideration and say, okay, you're not interested today. So tomorrow, you go back and you talk to them again. Didn't I tell you yesterday I'm not interested? Okay, no problem. You wait about a week. You go back to them. You talk to them again. And you tell them about Jesus Christ. And then they say, you know, I'm glad that you came back. I'm ready to hear what you have to say. And when you tell them that, they say, I believe now what you're saying. I'm ready to change my life. I'm willing to say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we get to this point about baptism. They say, well, I've already been baptized. Whoa. Earlier you said you didn't want to talk about God. Earlier you said that you really didn't believe in him. Earlier you said you wasn't ready to change your life. Earlier you said you wasn't willing to confess that he was the Son of the living God. Now you're telling me you've already been baptized? Why were you baptized? Well, the preacher said I need to be baptized. My mama said I need to be baptized. And a lot of times what happens is individuals go and they say, well, my mama said I was baptized. You mean to tell me you don't know? There's a reason why we're baptized. Man. And the reason why we're baptized is in order to wash away our sins. In Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 19, we see the Great Commission right here. The Great Commission tells us what we must do as children of God. It was given to the apostles, but not just to them, but is also given to us today. He says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, look what it says, to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So when we find out that we need to be baptized, we obey the gospel because we believe, we have heard, we believe, we're willing to repent, we're willing to confess, and we should be willing to be baptized. It's a command that individuals are to be baptized in order to be saved. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And on the other hand, he that believes not shall be condemned. See, we have a lot of people that don't really believe. So therefore, they're going to be condemned if they die in their sins. So we have to do what's right. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we've already looked at that or talked about it. When Peter preached that message and they said, what must we do? Repent and be baptized. I'm willing to repent, but this baptism thing, I really don't know about it. Willing to follow the command? What else do you need to know about it? You need to know that God's word says it. So therefore, we need to do it. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Baptism is how we put Christ on. See, a lot of people say, I'm a Christian, but yet they've never been baptized. You cannot be a Christian if you have not put Christ on. No way. No way possible. Or you're a Christian if you have not put Christ on. And then once we're baptized, we grow. We grow. You ever put a seed in the ground and you looked at that ground, and it was that seed never did come up. Never did come up. You would water it every day, and the seed never came up. We planted some peppers early spring.
Still haven't seen those peppers yet.
They may come up next year. If they do, great. If they don't, oh well.
But when we put Christ on, we need to grow. We need to grow. We grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how we grow. We don't grow by the ways of the world. We grow by ways of our Lord and Savior. We look in the Word and we see what we have to do. And the reason we want to grow is because we want to gain the knowledge of how we're supposed to live our lives in order to be faithful unto Him. So we study the Word to show ourselves approved unto Him, workmen that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why? In order to, again, be faithful unto Him. Faithful. Faithful to the very end. Faithful to the very end. See, we have some people that are wishy-washy. We have some people that are double-minded. We have some people that say, well, I'm faithful today. Tomorrow, oh, well. Oh, well. No, it's no oh, well. Because tomorrow may be the very time that you die. And if you die outside of Christ, you're not going to be able to get into heaven. Tell me God is not going to overlook those sins. I've been living this life pleasing to Him for 40 years. You mean to tell me one thing I do, He's going to cause me to be cast into a lake which burns with fire? If the Word says it, we need to believe it.
Amen.
But the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and the verse is 14. Hebrews chapter 3 and the verse is 14. We need to understand that we need to be faithful until the very end. Hebrews chapter 3 and the verse is 14. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Firm to the end. Just hold what you got. You know, no, we sat there in a movie.
And we sat there looking at this movie intently. And all of a sudden the lights go out. Or a storm comes and it cuts your satellite viewing off. Well, what you do?
Oh, tomorrow I'm calling Spectrum. I want this line going directly to my house. I don't want no satellite.
It's still the same.
If the lights go off, you're still not going to have any power. You're still not going to be able to watch that movie to the end. And then you got to call one of your friends and ask them what happened.
I want you to understand that we're not going to be able to call a friend come judgment.
We need to live our life faithful until the end. And hear our Lord say,
enter in, my good and faithful servant. Not those dreadful words, depart from me, workers of iniquity. I know you're not.
If you're here and you're not a child of God, if you have not done what you're supposed to do, you've heard, you believe, you heard the word, you believe the word, you repented, you confessed, but you refuse to be baptized, you, my friend, do not have salvation. You do not have salvation. There's no way you can have salvation. But when you've done all these things, you've done all that you were supposed to do, in the end, you do have salvation. And God is willing to say enter in. He must say enter in because you have done all that you're supposed to do. See, when you have all the right credentials,
When you've done all that you're supposed to in order to meet the criteria to be who you are supposed to be, who you think you should be, then you have a right to be so. So when we have done all that we're supposed to up until the end, as Paul said, there's a crown laid up for me, but not for me only, but for all those that love His appearing.
See, we don't like for someone to come to us when we have not done what we're supposed to do. See, there are some times where I used to peep out the curtain because I hadn't done what I was supposed to do.
Looking for that man. You know, you hear a truck outside. Oh, man, they tore away my car. You're looking out there. Oh, it didn't happen. Not just to me. I know it happened to some of y'all, too. You just don't want to tell it.
But when you've done what you're supposed to, you don't have to worry about those sounds. Brother Brian was talking about the man turned on his lights behind him the other day, but he knew he hadn't done anything wrong. So it's all good.
But a lot of times when lights are turned on behind us, we panic because we have not done what we're supposed to, or we've done something that is wrong.
Let's live a life that is pleasing to God so that we may hear, enter in, my good and faithful servant.
Amen.
If you're here and you're not a child of God, We want to encourage you this morning to become one.
To start living your life for Him. To start being a witness for Him. To start directing someone else toward Him. And the only way that you're going to be to do that, you know, I've seen many people that talk to others about Christ, but yet they themselves have not obeyed Him. Why would they listen to you? Why would they listen to you?
Oh, is that good? I don't know, but I think it is. Well, how are you going to know if it's good if you don't taste it? You taste it first, and then I will maybe taste it.
But this life that we're living for God, oh, it's a good life. We have experienced it. We have lived it. We know it's a good life, so we can share it with someone else. And when we talk to other people about it, they have looked at our lives, and they say, yes, I believe it's a good life, and I'm ready for it. I've been waiting on you to come and talk to me.
So if you're here, you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you to come this morning to make that confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be immersed in a watery grave of baptism, rise and to walk a newness of life, and live faithful. Grow and live faithful. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold.
We want you to come back this morning. We want you to do as Simon the Sorcerer did in Acts chapter 8, when he was told to him about his sin, may your money perish with you.
May your money perish with you. He understood what that meant, and he said, pray to God that these things may not happen to me. See, we need prayer. We need to ask people to pray for us. We need to confess our faults one to another. We need to confess our faults to God, and He will forgive us.
Amen.
Those of us that need to continue to live right, continue to live right. Be an example to others. If you're here and you're subject to imitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the imitation hymn.